Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend John Glennon from SI.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I am well, and you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, John, what is your confidence level that Bud Dupree can have a big season this year and help mitigate the loss of Harold Landry, which is obviously a gigantic loss for this Titans defense?
It's a huge loss. I agree with you, but I think, you know, if you're the Titans and if there's a position that you might be able to suffer a big loss and still do pretty well, I think it might be at that edge rusher position. You know, I think Bud Dupree is going to have a good year. He's got that year removed now from the ACL. And plus, you know, you've got Danico Autry, who plays a lot of edge. He'll probably play even more now. And you know, you've got Rashad Weaver coming off a great preseason. You know, I think there's a lot of potential there. Ola Danny has flashed as a pass rusher at times as well. So, you know, as devastating a loss as Harold Landry is, you know, I think that the Titans are still going to be a pretty solid defense without him because, as I say, I think that's one of their deepest positions.
All right, I want to quickly get you in on this big picture discussion we've just had, John. Everyone picking the Bills to go to the Super Bowl. Everyone picking the Colts to win the AFC South. And I'm exaggerating a bit, but it's pretty overwhelming on both fronts. What do you think about that? Because obviously the AFC, well, first of all, I think the Titans and Colts are very close, even with the loss of Landry. And also, the AFC is incredibly stacked and on paper way better than the other conference. And yet, and I've raised my hand on this, everyone seems to think the Bills are just cruising through this thing.
You know, I think when I was last asked for a Super Bowl predict, I went with the Bills. And it's, I mean, you know, it's a logical pick based on how talented they are. You know, they had the best defense in the league last year, and they add Von Miller to that defense. And of course, we know about their high-powered offense. But, you know, as I was also kind of looking at their depth chart the other day, and let's not forget, you know, and I don't mean this to sound harsh to a couple of ex-Titans, but it probably will, you know, two of the Bills' starting offensive linemen are Roger Saffold and David Quisenberry. And those are two guys the Titans, after last year, basically said, okay, thanks, but no thanks, you know, because both of them struggled in pass protection, you know, and I think Saffold probably had a lot to do with injury. But, you know, still, nonetheless, those are guys that did not have very good years last year, and those are two building blocks on the Bills starting offensive line. So that causes, you know, a little bit of wonder, a little bit of question in my mind for the Bills. But overall, you know, tough to pick against them. And then in the AFC South, I agree with you. I think it's kind of a toss-up between the Titans and Colts. I like the Colts' defense a good bit, you know, and then they added Gilmore in there. And you know, I think they're going to have a good pass rush as well. Offensively, I still have questions on the Colts. Obviously, they've got Taylor, who is the man. But the offensive line, to me, the interior is real good, but the tackles, a little bit shaky. And you know, we know all the pass rushers in the AFC, and including the Titans, are going to make it tough for them. And I think their wide receivers, there's some talent there, but it's a lot of young talent, a little bit unproven, you know, and obviously they're going with Matt Ryan for the first time. So I think there's still some question marks there. I think the Colts and Titans clearly head and shoulders above the other two teams, but very, very competitive race, I think, for AFC South crown.
John Glennon from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. John, how do you feel about the Titans and their passing game heading into this weekend against the Giants?
I feel like there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, you know, and I think that starts with the offensive line. You know, obviously this is a group that struggled in pass pro last year. You know, what, 47 sacks allowed? So that's the first problem that needs to be solved. And you've got two new linemen in there, including a rookie, Nicholas Petit-Frere, at right tackle. And then, you know, you go down the list at wide receiver and a tight end. There's so many new faces. You like Robert Woods and the veteran presence he brings. But at the same time, we all know that the guys coming off an ACL sometimes, you know, aren't at their best that next year. So there's a question there. Treylon Burks flashed some good things. You know, I think he'll be good in time, but I think there's going to be a learning curve. So, you know, I think some question marks there. You know, Kyle Phillips is a rookie. Chigo Kwonkwo is a rookie. Austin Hooper is new. So there's going to be a lot of chemistry that we're going to have to see how that all plays out on Sunday. So I think, you know, as you look at this Titans team, I find myself saying this defense better be pretty good even without Harold Landry, because I still think the offense has a number of question marks heading into the year.
What do you think the Titans should do? What do you think they will do when it comes to Derrick Henry usage week to week?
Well, you know, I think you have to cut it back. You know, last year, even though he only played, you know, the eight games or whatever, the usage was incredible. I mean, I think he was up to almost, you know, it was probably, 27, 28 carries a game. You know, and at this point in his career, I think that's probably too much to ask. And you know, I think they've got some interesting alternatives now. You know, I think Dontrell Hilliard kind of proved himself a little bit last year in terms of a change-up guy. And, you know, I think Julius Chestnut is interesting, too. I think he's the kind of guy that maybe gives Henry, you know, a five reps off or so. So I just don't think that they can use him quite as much as they have in the past. And also, you know, I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle, certainly, for Henry and the Titans' run game, simply because we don't know what kind of outside threats and deep threats this Titans offense has either. And if there's no deep threat, if there's no, you know, guy to sort of take one of those safeties back out of the box, you know, it could be tough sledding for Derrick in the running game.
John, what do you make of the matchup for the Titans against the Giants? Obviously, a team that's not been very good in recent memory, but Brian Daboll, new coaching staff coming in. What intrigues you the most about this matchup against the Giants?
Well, I think the biggest concern for the Titans is just the newness of everything with the Giants, and how do you prepare for a brand new coaching staff? You know, you assume with Brian Daboll that you're going to get a lot of Bill's flavor as he was the offensive coordinator up there. But then, you know, you throw in the new offensive coordinator up there, Mike Kafka. You know, there's a lot of Chiefs influence. He was the Chiefs quarterback coach there. Defense, you know, Wink Martindale is coming in, so you know you're going to get a lot of pressure, a lot of blitzes, but there's no tape on a Giants defense under this coaching staff in a regular season game. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. The good news for the Titans is, despite all these new coaches coming in, they aren't bringing their personnel from last year. You know, Brian Daboll isn't bringing in Josh Allen. Mike Kafka isn't bringing in Pat Mahomes. You know, Wink Martindale isn't bringing in the Ravens defense. And, you know, the personnel for the Giants right now isn't real scary. Now, I do think they do have some potential in the skilled players. You know, in addition to Saquon, you've got the rookie, Wandale Robinson, who I think is pretty good. And, you know, Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney, all good. But, you know, bottom line is you've still got Daniel Jones throwing to him. And then, frankly, I think Daniel Jones is more of a threat running than he is as a passing quarterback. So, you know, I still feel pretty confident, you know, in the Titans' position heading into the opener there.
What about Ryan Tannehill's position? Twofold on that. First of all, after his camp, listening to him talk, I thought he had, you know, another interesting presser yesterday. Where do you think he is as a player? Then also, how do you think he's – like, do you feel like the time has sort of softened the Titans fans' stance against him, I guess? Is it, we've talked a little bit about, like, you know, they introduced him the offense Sunday. He throws a pick or throws an incompletion. Does he get booed? Like, what do you think that is right now?
Well, first off, Joe, I think we have to address your question to Ryan Tannehill yesterday, which I thought was one of the most impressive questions of the entire preseason so far, which is, Ryan, do you think this season sets the course for the rest of your career?
Very awesome.
Very impressive broad picture question you what you talked out there. But yeah,
the no-brainer.
What's that?
The no-brainer,
he's
right?
34 years old, Joe. I mean, is he the kind okay. of guy who's setting the course of his career at this point? But no, I know what you're saying. But yeah, I think, you know, I've been impressed by Ryan Tannehill this offseason. As much as one can be impressed by a guy speaking in the offseason, I do feel that there is kind of that fire, that enthusiasm. You know, everyone around him says he's been a more of a vocal guy. You know, he's really stepped up talking to receivers, I think, especially because there are some new faces. And I think also there's probably a little bit of a sense of urgency in Ryan Tannehill now, because we all know Malik Willis is back there, and there's a thought, certainly, you know, understandably, that Malik may be the guy next year. You know, so I think there's a sense of urgency in Ryan Tannehill that, hey, you know, if this is my last year with the Titans, I'm going to go out swinging. I'm going to be a vocal guy. I'm going to tell my receivers exactly, you know, what I want them to do. I'm going to tell my coaches what I want in the scheme and the game plan and so forth. So I think from a mental standpoint, you know, I think he's in a really good place. But I agree with you also, as much as the Titans fans may have softened a bit, I think that, sad to say, that first pick, if it happens, you know, against the Giants, I think you're going to hear the same old arguments that we've heard, you know, right after the Cincinnati game.
We know Joe Rexroth, some capital J journalism here on this program. He gets to the bottom of things, Glennon.
Quarterbacks play till they're like 48 now.
For the rest of your career, impressive. That brought a little pause, I'll have to say, Joe.
Well, it brought a laugh, and then other people laughed. Whatever that means.
Just beautiful stuff. John Glennon from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroth. John, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, I got to toss in one last tidbit for Joe, one last tidbit before I'm gone. Joe, don't forget the earbuds. Don't forget the earbuds at today's practice. and hopefully he can share the story behind that, Robbie.
Yes, Glennon.
Don't get me started, man. Don't get me started.
I heard all about it. All right. John Glennon, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroth. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I've got some NFL Hot Topic questions to throw Joe Rexroth's way. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rexroth, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go up against the Dallas Cowboys at 7:20. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Looking forward to that game coming up on Sunday night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroth, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So I've got some hot topics league-wide to throw out that kind of set the table for our predictions for the NFL season that will be coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. And I'm interested to get both of your thoughts on these questions. And we'll start with this one, because I think this is a really difficult question to figure out, especially in the AFC. So we'll start with this one as the first one. Your most likely under-the-radar team candidate in each conference to make a deep run. So not just to, you know, come out of nowhere and win 8 games or something like that. Who is your most likely under-the-radar candidate in each conference to make a deep run? Joe, would you like to start?
Sure. Well, look, I'm going to go with the Titans.
I like it.
I think the Titans are, as long as that qualifies, it's amazing that they could be the answer.
as they could definitely be the answer.
Yeah. As the reigning one seed, but I think they can be. And look, there's a lot of things that have to, you know, have to break their way. Certainly. I made the case in The Athletic today for how the offensive line may not be complete dog water, in part because the excitement about Aaron Brewer is it's kind of hard to ignore. What if the offensive line, Lawan, is back? And I know we're trying to do quick hitter things here, but like the offensive line could, you know, Lawan is back to himself. Nate Davis is back to himself. Petit Frere grows into it. Burks becomes a player. Henry's awesome. And the defense, it's the Landry thing. It has to come up every time you bring it up, but yeah, the Titans still could be that team. On the other side, I would go with the Vikings.
Okay.
I don't think anybody, well, I shouldn't say anybody. I think, I guess probably most projections. I mean, the NFC is so light. A lot of projections probably have the Vikings in the, playoffs, but you know, with the coaching change, I'm very intrigued by what that means. Kirk Cousins did not get along with his last head coach. There's no doubt about that. I feel like they've added to their defense, and they could be pretty good. And, I mean, look, I've drafted Dalvin Cook in both my fantasy leagues. So this is partially the hopeful pick by me. If he's healthy all year with Jefferson, Thielen, Cousins, I mean, that team has some firepower.
No question about it. Michelle, you have some likely under-the-radar candidates in each conference to make a deep run.
Yeah, so I like your Titans pick, Joe, but for the AFC, I'm going with the Ravens. And okay. I think a lot of it is going to come down to, obviously, Lamar Jackson. But I am very, very high on the Ravens this year. I think that they're going to make a deep run. I mean, last year, prior to training camp, they were one of the hottest teams, and then they had major injuries in training camp, and then Lamar Jackson gets injured in the season. I think this is going to be a huge year for him individually. I think their team, he's also, you know, trying to work towards getting that big contract. And then flipping to the NFC, I think similar situation. The Saints, they've got Jameis Winston back. We saw them beat the Bucks last year. And the NFC, Joe, you mentioned, it's very light. When I was doing my predictions, I'm like, if I could put in a couple more AFC teams than NFC teams, obviously that would be ideal. But I think that the Saints have a chance, and I think this is also going to be a big year for Jameis Winston to see what he can actually do in the NFL. So Ravens and Saints I'm going with. Robbie?
The Saints are my answer on NFC as well. I'm pretty high on them. I know Jameis Winston is quarterback. I think you've got a chance to see a pretty good level of play from Jameis Winston this year. If he can cut down on the picks. And it shouldn't be that hard to cut down on the picks from a couple of years ago. But he played well before he got hurt last year. They were 5-2. People forget that. And they did beat Tampa Bay. We'll see what happens on that front. But I think with some of the moves they've made this offseason, they could be pretty good. My under-the-radar candidate in the AFC is Miami. If things hit, I feel okay about their defense. But if things hit with Tua, with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in there, I mean, you're talking about an offense that could have a lot of firepower. I still have big questions about Tua and what we're going to see from him this year. But if things go well, I could see Miami being pretty good. And there's not a ton of people talking about them right now because, you know, the Bills are sucking up everybody's oxygen right now in the AFC. But Miami is my under-the-radar candidate that I think is very intriguing to me. All right, we'll switch gears. Your most intriguing player in each conference. Your most intriguing player in each conference. I'll start on this one.
Yeah, you should start because you've thought about these.
I'll go Russell Wilson in the AFC because there's a lot of love on his front. And I thought about Matt Ryan. I think it's close. But Russell Wilson's my answer in the AFC. How much of a difference is he going to make for that Denver offense? I like the running game they have. I love the defense in Denver. I think they've got some pieces offensively with Cortland Sutton and with Jerry Jeudy, where they could be pretty good. How big of a difference will Russell Wilson make? And I think the clear answer in the NFC to me is Trey Lance. If Trey Lance is good, then I think San Francisco is right there with some of these other teams in the NFC that we've talked about. If he's not, then I don't know exactly what they're going to do. Are they going to go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo show at some point? They're just riding out the whole season with Trey Lance. We'll see what happens. But I think to me, and maybe I'll disagree, Trey Lance is the clear answer in the NFC.
Those are both good. I would point out also on the Trey Lance front, kind of interesting to me that he was not voted a team captain. You know, there's been some reporting, you know, missed by a few votes, but that's a little bit, little bit interesting. He's fascinating. I agree. For my answer, I'm going to go back to the 2015 draft, a guy we've already talked about in this segment, Marcus Mariota, the 2 pick, Jameis Winston, the 1 pick. I think, and they're in the same division now. And you know what? I mean, I think the Saints are a good pick by both you guys in terms of under their team. I think they could be really good, especially Michael Thomas and Kamara. Are those guys back to, like, their best selves? They could be fascinating. I love Olave. I think he's possible rookie of the year. Jameis Winston, is he going to put it all together? And Marcus Mariota, it's a different situation. I think Jameis Winston has a chance to be a long-term starter there, possibly. I don't think Marcus Mariota has that potential, but he has one more crack at this thing. And some of this is probably for me just because he was here, covered him for years and all that stuff. I just think it's fascinating to see in a city where you know they want the rookie, they want the draft pick, can he hold that off and can he play well? And can Arthur Smith build something around him that utilizes what he does well? So that's my pick.
Michelle?
Okay, I hate to stay local for this, but mine's Ryan Tannehill. I think that, I mean, we've seen it all over the national media. And Joe, I mean, you asked him the question yesterday, and I know people kind of questioned, you know, is this season define the rest of your career? But, you know, I believe it does too. We saw in 2020, he had a great season and then dropped off last year. But this is a huge season for him. And I honestly don't know. And nobody does, obviously, until we see him get on the field. But this is a huge season for him. And I think his success is going to align with the Titans' success. I think if he has a great season, they're going to make a deep run into the playoffs. But if he underperforms again this year, I think this is going to be the end of his career with the Titans. And then I think that the Titans lose an opportunity where they have a lot of pieces around him. They've got Derrick Henry still and a lot of pieces to make a run. And if he doesn't perform, I think that it's just going to hold a lot of weight on this Titans franchise. And then switching over to the NFC, you know, Trey Lance, Robbie, I really love that answer. I'm going to go a different quarterback. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts. Obviously, yep. We've been focused a little bit more on the Eagles because of the A.J. Brown move up there. Those two have been, you know, just posting so much on social media, and there's been so much, you know, hype surrounding his name. I mean, obviously, he came from Alabama. It was him and Tua down there. But I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. We saw them make it in the postseason last year, but obviously they played the Bucs in the first round, and that was just an awful game. So I want to see what those Eagles can do. And I think that, you know, a little preview, I have them beating the Cowboys for the division.
Ooh, I like that. We'll have more burning NFL hot topics coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. It is week one, and you can kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code Rob to get in on the action. Then you can turn game day into payday all season long. I've told you about the Titans. I like them against the Giants, both on the money line and the spread. You give me the Packers to cover as well this weekend against Minnesota. But you take it any way you want to take it. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code Rob. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Throwing out some NFL hot topics. We'll continue that now. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. All right, quarterback entering into year two that will have the best year. And this doesn't mean, you know, team success. which quarterback has the best year? And we've talked about Trey Lance, Mac Jones in the category, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Which quarterback entering into year two has the best year in your mind? Joe, would you like to start?
Yeah, give me the rundown again, the possibilities.
Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields.
Yeah, I'll go Lance. I agree that he's fascinating. I mean, the Niners have gone all in. You know, sometimes you have an organization like the Packers who do something, and then their actions after that show you that they realize they screwed it up, right? I mean, the Niners proceeded, went full speed ahead, and I know they still have Jimmy G back, but that wasn't the plan. So I think that they've demonstrated a lot of confidence in him. They got a lot of great things around him, so I'll go with him.
I'm going to go with I'm going Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a massive jump this year. Now, team success-wise, I think there's a very good chance that he will finish behind the Niners and the Patriots in terms of win total this year. But I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big year, will take a big jump forward this year. So Trevor Lawrence is my answer. Michelle?
Robbie, I'm with you on that one. I think Trey Lance, more team success. But I think Trevor Lawrence individually, I think we're going to see a big jump from him. I mean, we all know the culture down there and just everything surrounding him. I think people forget about how incredible he was in college. Even Jared mentioned that earlier at 7. But I think he's going to have a huge jump this season.
All right, Michelle, we'll start with you on this one. Who will lead the NFL in rushing this year? Who will lead the NFL in rushing this season?
My heart wants to say Derrick Henry, but Jonathan Taylor. He will. And I have no doubt on that, honestly. I think it's him all the way.
Ooh, Jonathan Taylor. Joe Rexroad, same question to you. Who leads the NFL in rushing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think most people would pick one of those two guys. You know, it's very interesting with some of the reporting out of Indianapolis about actually trying not to overuse Jonathan Taylor. And, Frank Reich saying, if I was drafting fantasy, I'd draft Nyheim Hines, which I did, by the way. Thank you, Frank. I think it's going to be very close, but unless Derrick Henry gets hurt, I think he'll win it. I think Derrick Henry will have more carries and more yards. I think it will be a really good race.
Derrick Henry in a runaway. He wins by at least 250 yards.
Whoa! You're calling a shot.
Love it, Robbie.
Derrick Henry wins the rushing title by at least 250 yards this year. You heard it here first. Write it down. All right, who will finish in the top three in receiving yards this year, league-wide? Top three in receiving yards this year, league-wide. I'll go first. I got Justin Jefferson at number one for Minnesota. I've got Ja'Marr Chase at number two in Cincinnati. And I've got Stephon Diggs at number three in Buffalo. So I'll go Jefferson at one, Ja'Marr Chase at two, and Stephon Diggs at number three. There's a noticeable omission there, a couple of noticeable omissions. But those are my three, and I'm sticking to it.
No Davante Adams. No Cooper Kupp.
I know.
Yeah. I'm with you on Jefferson. I'm with you. And I'm with you for him, number one. I like that. I think he's just going to have a monster year. I'm going to go Cooper Kupp second. He's not going to have 1,900 yards, but I think he's going to have like 1,500. And that, you know, last year, Davante Adams was third with 1,553. And third, yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to go Adams. I'm going to go Jefferson, Kupp, Adams. So really, last year's top three, just flip-flopping one and two. Look, Derek Carr is not Aaron Rodgers, but he can throw the football and is smart enough to know where to throw it this year.
Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. Michelle?
I hope this doesn't hurt your heart, Robbie, but I'm going Davante Adams, number one.
Boom.
With his Hall of Fame quarterback. Number two, sir. I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase. I was a little iffy on that one, but I think Ja'Marr Chase improves his productivity this year. And then third, I'm going to go Justin Jefferson with Cooper Kupp just in that fourth position. But like you guys said, pretty much the top four guys from last year just rearranged.
All right, which player in the NFL has the most pressure on them this season? Which player has the most pressure on them in the NFL this season?
If you have a thought, go ahead, because that's a big question.
Well, there's like three or four that come to mind. They're all quarterbacks. You could make a case for Rodgers. He's got one Super Bowl. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's always pressure that comes with that. According to expectations, Josh Allen should probably be somewhere on that list. Yep. With how many people love the Buffalo Bills. I think there's a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert to get in the playoffs this year. But I think my answer is Lamar Jackson, especially with the contract situation. He needs to have some playoff success. You know, he's going to get paid either way. Like, everybody's freaking out about the contract right now. Like, Dak Prescott got hurt a few years ago, and he still got paid. So I'm not really worried about Lamar Jackson getting paid. You know, the longer this drags out, it could work out better for him, because quarterback contracts are going to do nothing but go up. So we'll see what happens on the contract standpoint. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Lamar this year, and I am interested with that receiving core, which I don't know is going to be very good, how he handles that. So Lamar is my answer heading into the year.
The only thing I would disagree with there is, yeah, if it's true that the guaranteed money Deshaun Watson got is a big hang up here, I don't know. Like, you're right there. Of course, the market's going to keep going up and up and up, but that's such a ridiculous contract that, you know, that's where, if that's really like a sticking point, and, you know, I mean, I'm very curious to see the next person to get that much guaranteed money, let alone a sexual predator. And by the way, Deshaun Watson would be on my list, even though he's only playing a little bit, but like the scrutiny and everything that every time he takes the field now, I mean, believe me, no sympathy, but I'm just saying, massive pressure. I think Lance also belongs on the list. I think Russell Wilson belongs on the list too. And Tannehill. I mean, basically, like, just about every year this question would have to be quarterbacks, right?
I would think so.
Yes, and
you know what? Let me give you my answer. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan, because it goes with all, like you said, all this hype, and we're all expecting Matty Ice, MVP 2016 version, and the Colts, everyone expects them to win, and that's a lot. I mean, again, they're playing like they're competing with a very similar team that won the one seed last year, and everybody just expects him to come in and just boom, there they go, take off. I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, I like that answer too. I think also Tua in Miami, right? He's finally got a star receiver. He's been injured last year. They had that nice run of wins last season. But, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is, it like, okay, can you translate what you did in college into the NFL? And he's got pieces around him now. And yeah, I'm going to Tua for my answer.
All right, real quickly on this one, because I don't think it'll take very long. Coaches with the most on the line this season. I think the obvious answer is Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
But beyond him, I'll go off the wall a little bit. I'll go Brandon Staley. Like, I don't know if he's going to get fired, but we talked about the Chargers the other day. They got to make the playoffs this year. The ownership is invested in them. They've got a very talented roster. If they don't make the playoffs this year, all of a sudden that seat's going to get pretty warm for Brandon Staley. So he's my honorable mention.
Well, you know, we've got Indy Ben with a long diatribe in the text line we can get to later about the dismissing of the Colts with Jared and Caroline. But most of the NFL world's not dismissing them. I'm going with Frank Reich. This dude has been sold as a genius. I think he's a pretty good coach, but I think he's had some flaws. And again, you got the clear favorite, man. You got the clear favorite, and last year there were some questionable games and moments, and I think that I think Ballard is fine in Indy. I think Frank Reich is should be viewed separately from Ballard.
By the way, I'm getting crushed on the text line.
Yes,
I absolutely should.
Why?
How did I overlook Davis Mills in my quarterback question? I thought that was impossible to do, and yet I'm the one that did it.
How could anyone overlook Davis Mills? Incredible!
This is ridiculous. You did it. God, I deserve every bit of ridicule that I'm getting. Michelle, go ahead.
Finally, Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, we need to see. Yes. They just got Murray just got that contract, right? He's going to be your guy. We got to see something in the postseason from them.
All right, last thing here, and this will lead us into our predictions coming up in the next hour, kind of. Your league MVP this season. Who is it? Who wins the league MVP this year in the NFL? Michelle, go first.
Why do I want to say Aaron Rodgers, but I would like hate that if he won it again?
Why?
Well, listen, Aaron Rodgers needs to win another Super Bowl, but that's just a conversation for another day. League MVP, okay. I'm going to go with Justin Herbert. League MVP.
Okay.
Josh Allen.
Buffalo lover.
I don't want to say it too loud. 17-0 season. Josh Allen.
Sorry.
Winning the MVP according to Rex Road. I will go with the ageless wonder, Tom Brady, NFL MVP this year.
And by the way, I know we got to go to break. Somebody on the text line said, you know, the Joe Stillman question for Tannehill yesterday. Does Glennon think that, like, quarterback careers end at 34? 35? Like, dude, come on. It's the 2020s, man. These guys are going into their 40s. There could be a lot of career left for Ryan Tannehill. I'm just saying.
People all over you on the text line about that question, just like they're all over me about my Davis Mills disrespect. It's a shameful period here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we will talk about Ryan Tannehill, get into some of his comments from yesterday leading into this season against the Giants. We'll have Chad Graff from The Athletic, who covers the Patriots, coming up at 9 o'clock as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You think this season sets the course for the rest of your career, Ryan?
I don't know. You know, I attack each and every season. You know, like it could be your last. You never know what's going to happen, and whether it's physically, you know, or something else. You know, that's kind of just how I live my life, right? Whether it's, you know, time with family or time with friends, or in this situation, football, is you never know what's going to happen in life. So you got to attack each and every day with a purpose, with an intention. You know, being where your feet are and trying to take advantage of each and every opportunity you get.
How's Joe Rexroad getting all over Ryan Tannehill yesterday at the press conference for the Titans heading into their first game against the Giants? He's received a lot of blowback from that, Rexroad. You know, I didn't think much about it at the time. I was listening to that press conference live when you asked it, but you generated a lot of reaction from your question to Ryan Tannehill yesterday.
I just want to thank you to Dennis on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Who I should pay because he mostly not only does he make amazing illustrations for us, he's a great fantasy football player in our league. He usually agrees with me. Good point by him. Jim Plunkett defined his career right around the same age. Patriots pick Stanford.
Yes,
didn't really work out. Then he goes to the Raiders, and all of a sudden we have a totally different concept of Jim Plunkett in the NFL, and that's the late 70s, early 80s.
George Blanda. Yeah, just keep going.
George Blanda was smoking darts way past this on the sideline of an NFL game. I'm sorry. People jumping all over that. I disagree. I'm going to defend myself. I think it was just a fine question.
It was an interesting media session from Tannehill yesterday. From the standpoint of, I'm really, you know, he got asked about the Cincinnati game again and how that's fueling him heading into the season, all these different things. Like, I'm interested from his standpoint. The equation has changed. There's the game in Cincinnati, which is, it's got to affect you in some way. It certainly has affected, I think, the way the fan base views him. And now you've got a quarterback that the team has drafted in the third round in Malik Willis. While, as we, I think, here can all agree, he's not a threat to you this year in terms of taking your job. We'll see about the, you know, the coming years and whether or not Malik Willis is ready next year to compete for a starting job. So, I mean, this is a pretty crucial year for Ryan Tannehill in terms of his future with the Titans, his future as a starting quarterback in this league. It's a much different set of circumstances for him heading into this year than it was heading into last year, both on the field and off the field as well. And I'm really interested to see how Tannehill handles that heading into this season mentally.
Yeah, I think he's one of the most interesting players in the league this year. I think that, like, we just kind of went through it with your questions on, you know, your NFL questions. He's probably one of about like six quarterbacks who, like, this is just a critical year for them. And I do believe this sets the course. Now, the thing I don't know is, what if Tannehill's pretty good this year? What if he's pretty good? Not great. They get to the playoffs. They lose. He's okay in the playoff game. He doesn't win it. He doesn't lose it like last year. Like there's some gray area here where setting the course, you know, maybe that's a little bit dramatic of an idea because I could still see him being the starter next year. That's part of why I still like that's I to me, it's kind of an easy prediction that he actually plays out his contract here as the starting quarterback because you still have to then ask the question, what's the alternative? What can you do that's better? The Titans will have the opportunity cap-wise to better themselves, but will they actually have the opportunity in reality to better themselves from Ryan Tannehill? Maybe they're just like, boom, let's go, Malik Willis. But based on what I've seen from Malik Willis, it's a fascinating story to keep following. If you tell me right now he's starting quarterback week one for the Titans next year, I'm probably not picking that team to make the playoffs. And I know that that's – I'm looking way into the future, and I don't – he could be so much better, and I could be wrong. But to me, going to him next year is also sort of like embracing a rebuild, at least some sort of a rebuild. And that's where the question of Tannehill, you know, like there's nuance in the answer, but come on, the guy is, if he has, like this could absolutely be the last year that people and teams in this league truly want him, covet him to be a starting quarterback for them, and he may have to go the Mariota route after this year.
Well, look, there's a ton of pressure on him heading into this year. And there's always pressure on you as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I totally get that. So it's not like it's a new concept for him. But I will say, in high pressure situations, let's think about this. You know, Baltimore game in the playoffs at home, 2020. Didn't go well. Last year, Cincinnati game at home, high pressure situation, didn't go well. Now he has had other moments where he's played really well. I mean, you brought up the run in 2019. You know, there have been some big throws in the Houston game to win the division in each of the last 2 years, by the way, that he's had to make. So it's not like it's just this broad brush that you could paint Tannehill with. Oh, well, when the pressure rises, he can't deliver, because we've seen him deliver at times. But this is a much different situation from this. I guess the better way to phrase it, this is a much different type of pressure that he's facing heading into this season than he's faced during his time as a quarterback with the Titans. Now, he has faced it to a certain degree, a similar situation in Miami where it was basically put up or shut up and then they got rid of him. So it's not like he's not seen this at some point in his career, but that part of it is the most intriguing thing to me is how does he handle this type of a high pressure situation that is not a normal situation for the NFL, for the a starting NFL quarterback.
Right. And the difference also is that he had the knee and then he had the shoulder in Miami. So it was kind of like, they bring in Flores, new regime. This guy's banged up. Who knows what everybody knew it was time to move on. He didn't really have a chance to, he didn't have this season to prove himself because of injury, you know? And now he has it. And he's been a revelation here still overall to me, based on what people thought of him coming out of Miami. It was like, wow, that's good. That's good backup, Titans. Good pickup, you know? You didn't pay anything. They're going to take on some of his salary, and you have a really good backup now in this league. I mean, no one saw what was about to come coming. No one did. So it's still, he's still done a lot to rejuvenate things, but at some point you kind of run out of that that time, and this is critical. And yeah, how he handles it is going to be fascinating to watch. And again, how people around him help him is going to be a huge part of it too. But to your point on the broad brush, Robbie, even last year, some people have wanted to broad brush it as just this consistently bad year, and it wasn't. He played a lot of good football last year. He had a lot of games that I would characterize as good games, some really good games, and he had some really bad games, and that's the difference. In 19 and 20, I don't think you could find one really bad game.
Henry on the text line says, what if Tannehill comes out and throws an interception on the first play of the first game of the season? I've thought about that. It did happen in the playoff game. Hopefully that does not happen on Sunday.
My gosh. Like if that were to happen, then I'm very confident in heavy booing. But let's say, I mean, that's an easy one, right?
Yeah.
Let's say it's like 17-0 Titans in the late second quarter and he throws a pick. So he's played well. He's got two touchdown passes. He's carving up the Giants, and he throws a pick the late second quarter. They go in the half 17-0.
It's a little different. I don't think you'll see you might hear some. I don't think you'll hear like a overwhelming just rain of booze coming down.
It actually, like, it really, then again, if you're an NFL quarterback, then you are a pro athlete. Like, you got to be ready for boos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, this is one of those, like, have a good first couple possessions just to get people to be like, okay, we like you, I guess. You know? Like, come out strong.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears, get into the Patriots and our continued look ahead at the AFC heading into the season. Chad Graff from The Athletic will join us. Coming up next, looking forward to that. Make sure you play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win great prizes, play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.